Okay, next up on our agenda, we have a presentation from Dr. DePaul and Mr. Chase on the scallop survey working group. Gentlemen, take it away.
This on?
No, we need to push it.
Good morning. My name is Peter Chase. I am Chief of the Ecosystem Surveys Branch at the Northeast Fisheries Science Center.
Good morning. My name is Bill DePaul. I am a member of the Scallop Plan Development Team and Professor Emeritus at Virginia Institute of Marine Science, College of William & Mary. This morning, let's see if we've got to do this here. There we go. This morning, we're going to talk about the Sea Scallop Survey Working Group. It is a task that took over 18 months, involved many people, and we'll talk about that later. But it is a lot to unpack. There's a lot of information in the report, and I hope that everyone takes close attention to it, because the Sea Scallop surveys are extremely important to the success of the fishery. So this morning we're going to talk about what we've done, very briefly, I hope. We're going to talk about the report and the presentation overview. Basically, we're going to look at its organization, process, and its membership. We're going to look at the terms of reference that were established and agreed to by the council, I believe, last year. We're going to look at a description of the current system, coordinated strategy for scallop surveys. We're going to look at survey methodology for changing environment, including offshore wind projects. And we're going to look at survey products that can support future stock assessments and projections. So the background and purpose of the working group. It was established in 2021, but it went back to all the way the recommendations from 2015, another report in 2018, and another report in 2019, all kinds of reports looking at how to better coordinate some of the scallop surveys that were undergoing, and also how to make that data more applicable to stock assessment. And I'd like to point out, really, that even though we started in 2015, at least the recommendations were, there's been significant changes in how we coordinate the sea scallop surveys. Coordination has really been improved, given by evidence with increased surveys in the Nantucket Lightship Deep, high-density scallop areas, the Nantucket Lightship West, again, with high-density scallop in those areas that needed a closer attention as far as the surveys are concerned. So, the purpose of the working group was to facilitate collaboration around integrated approaches to conducting scallop surveys that support stock assessment and management. And then also to try to explore some mechanisms for implementation of those new approaches. This is a roadmap that really tries to picture how some of this coordination will work. As you can see, today's sign up there where the co-chair is presenting the recommendations to the council. But in the green, that's a track for the council's progress towards annual specifications. And the red is the Science Center's road track for the specification process as well. The organization and membership of the working group was pretty large and quite diverse. The council solicited working group members from a variety of fields, including stock assessment, survey design, data management, habitat management and also experience with the RSA project as well. In addition, the council contracted the facilitator, and I'd like to take a moment here to thank Dr. Kate O'Keefe, who did an amazing job at keeping this proverbial herd of cats together during this process. It was quite a task, and she did an outstanding job. I also would like to recommend congratulations to the members of the council staff and also the staff from the Science Center who contributed greatly to this process. So it was really a group effort. So the initial task of the working group was to assess the current survey scallop system. In other words, what were we doing? How many surveys were being done? And what kind of data was being covered? We also wanted to examine how well we were doing covering the scallop resource, making sure that our sampling was correct in terms of intensity and in frequency. And also, more importantly, we had to make sure that data standardization, the delivery of that data, and storage and access of that data was complete. The first term of reference was to describe the current survey system, including survey dredge and optical systems. And this is quite a group of people. We had the New England Science Center, NIMS Science Center, Dredge and Habcam Survey, the VIMS Dredge Survey, the Maine Department of Natural Resources and University of Maine Dredge Surveys, the SMAS Drop Camera Survey, Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution Habcam Survey, and Kuna Mesa Farm Habcam Survey. So we have multiple technologies and multiple institutions involved in conducting these surveys. So that information has all been collected, and it's in your report. But most importantly, what I think is good is that we compiled a survey metadata catalog, which includes a description of all the data fields collected by each survey. It is important that this data catalog may be useful for final storage of the data information. The other term of reference was to describe the process in determining the annual spatial coverage and intensity. We had a RSA priority setting process, which identified priority survey areas. We had the RSA proposal review and award selection process that informed the PDT and the survey groups where to go and what kind of survey would be conducted. And also, that coordination from the RSA process had to be done with the coordination with the Science Center and their survey, so it wasn't just a matter of filling gaps. It was more of a logistical process of making sure all the areas were covered by all the surveys. There is also a terms of reference parallel project that is being conducted by the Science Center, and Dr. Paul Rago is taking a look at a new kind of survey strata to include strata that have scallop presence but may not be in the current survey design based upon depth and area. And this process is ongoing, but I think it's important that the working group considered these Science Center efforts and supported a continued development of alternative sampling strategies and recommended that new approaches should be peer-reviewed and coordinated by all survey partners. So this is not something that's just being done out in left field somewhere. It's going to be coordinated by all the the survey partners.
Term of reference two is to describe and assess a coordinated strategy for sea scallop resource assessment surveys and investigate opportunities and methods for implementation. Address each of the following areas: spatial coverage, including the northern Gulf of Maine, sampling frequency and intensity within and between surveys, data standardization, delivery, access, and storage, automated scallop detection, and RSA survey priority setting process and long-term planning. The working group addressed each topic in an incremental approach, starting with an assessment of the current system, followed by brainstorming about potential new or alternative approaches, and finally drafting recommendations for consideration by the Council and Science Center with strategies for implementation. In general, the group recognized that the current scallop survey system has supported science and management objectives, but lacks a set of guiding principles to ensure coordination, efficiency, and transparency for spatial coverage, sampling intensity, and sampling frequency. The group's recommendation is focused on implementing guiding principles to improve the survey system. The working group considered recommendations for a simulated or optimized survey design as described by the 2015 survey peer review and 2019 RSA review. The group highlighted several benefits of the current survey system that may be lost under an optimized approach that focuses on cost efficiencies or a single structured design. The benefits of the current system that were noted by the group included: multiple independent estimates provide a mechanism to compare estimates. Data needs of some areas benefit from redundant surveys that use different tools. Including multiple partners provides flexibility and reduces risk of lost coverage. The competitive RSA program has promoted innovation. Alternative sampling designs may be more appropriate for specific tools. RSA survey costs are aligned with management and industry expectations. The working group did not endorse a simulation analysis of a single optimized survey system. Instead, they recommended improvements to the current system through increased coordination, communication, and standardization of data collection and data products. The working group recommended that the Council and Center adopt scallop survey guiding principles to inform survey-related decision-making, RSA priorities, and program adaptations, and future science and management efforts and advice. The working group developed the scallop survey guiding principles document, which is included as Appendix 2 of our report. The principles are intended to ensure adequate survey coverage, sampling intensity, frequency, and sampling types, as well as maintain flexibility in the survey system. The guiding principles include recommendations for survey coverage areas and sampling intensity, such as ensuring the northern Gulf of Maine area is included in regular survey coverage and consideration of resource conditions to determine sampling levels. Types of sampling, such as counts, measurements, biological data, and environmental information. Data analysis and data delivery, such as ensuring standardized criteria for shell height to meat weight calculations and autocorrelated data from HABCAM. The guiding principles document is intended to be a living document for long-term use with future modifications made in consultation with all survey partners. For data topics, including standardization, delivery, access, and storage, the group emphasized that the current system has more weaknesses than strengths, including no dedicated funding or staff resources for scallop survey data, lack of standard data fields across surveys, lack of efficient processes for data merging, data accessibility, and data sharing, and no reliable systems for data storage or backup. Additionally, the working group and data subgroup highlighted the need to advance understanding of image annotation for optical surveys and advance the use of automated detection technology. The working group made several data-related recommendations, and today we'll focus on the ones directed to the Council and the Science Center. The Science Center should prioritize scallop survey data management and provide resources for dedicated database management staff. The working group described the current system as unsustainable with insufficient resources that is not meeting objectives for data standards, storage, access, and delivery. The group emphasized that the current system is vulnerable to data loss and processing errors, which could result in substantial challenges for science and management. To implement this recommendation, the group suggests that the center should prioritize needs as urgent, important, or strategic, consider available and additional funding and staff resources, coordinate with all survey partners to identify efficiencies, including costs, and assess the risk and vulnerabilities of the current system to inform contingencies for data management if funding or resources are not immediately available. The group recognized resource constraints, but also emphasized the critical need to work towards improved data management in order to avoid risk of data loss and to meet national objectives for data sharing and accessibility. The Science Center should dedicate sufficient annual resources to develop and maintain an operational scallop survey data repository using FAIR data management principles. FAIR meaning findable, accessible, interoperable, and reusable. The working group identified development and operative function of the scallop survey data repository as an urgent priority that can continue to evolve over time. The group noted that the current data management system is disjointed, with survey partner organizations housing their own data in different formats and database structures. The working group recommended that the center develop and maintain a repository that includes standard fields and QA/QC criteria and protocols that can be shared through web services. Initial development of the repository should focus on dredge survey data to inform database structure and design, because these data sets are similar across survey partners and are currently integrated for science and management purposes. The repository should eventually include all survey data, including optical surveys, considering potential capacity issues for image storage and sharing. There are existing provisions in the RSA program that allow for funding of data preparation, accessibility, and archiving that may help to reduce costs to develop and maintain the repository. The metadata catalog may also be useful to inform the structure of the repository. This is a visualization of a potential sequence for repository development. On the left are the current survey components, including three dredge surveys, two HavCam surveys, the DropCam survey, and the gray box represents a potential new survey methods in wind energy areas. The working group's urgent recommendation starting this year is to standardize data format and delivery. The group suggests collaborations between the center and the RSA survey partners to identify standard fields and formats. Again, the first recommended step is for dredge survey data standardization. Over the next 2 to 5 years, the group recommends developing the structure of the data repository, adding data from all surveys, and ultimately operationalizing a repository that includes upload capability, auto-population of data tables, and publicly accessible information through cloud-based storage systems. The Council and NEFSC should coordinate a review of automated detection technology. The working group highlighted the time-consuming effort to annotate images from optical surveys, but noted that geostatistical method models to estimate biomass and make projections of future exploitable biomass rely on autocorrelated data that is generated by relatively high image annotation rates. To address these competing constraints, the group recognized that the utility of automated detection technology needs to be advanced. The working group recommended a peer review of existing software and applications as the preferred path forward. The group recommended that the Center and Council should prioritize organization of a peer review process, considering but not limited to defining review objectives, identifying appropriate reviewers, and scheduling a review time. The working group recommended this as an urgent priority to be conducted within the next year and emphasized that this should be a separate review process from scallop stock assessments. At this point, we can pause and maybe take some questions related to Term 1, the guiding principles or data recommendations.
Okay, very good. Any questions from the council so far? Mr. Salerno.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for the presentation so far. You know, this is very interesting. Obviously, there's a lot of work here trying to coordinate multiple gears, multiple opportunities, multiple surveys. I guess my question relates to the three dredge surveys. I didn't see any reference to any type of calibration between the independent dredge surveys themselves, the efficiencies, or are you just relying on, well, this dredge is this wide, this dredge is this wide, and we're just kind of assuming that the catch is going to be proportional to the size of the dredge, or was there any kind of comparative toes to kind of calibrate between the three dredge surveys?
Yes, there were. There were calibration work with a commercial vessel and a survey dredge vessel. There was a coordination with the NIMP survey dredge as well as the BIM survey dredge. And there was a coordination, I believe, a couple cruises with doing two survey dredges at the same time. So it's been coordinated, and there's been some changes with regard to the efficiencies related to the dredge survey in high density scallop areas.
Anyone else from the council? Anyone from the public? Seeing none, gentlemen.
All right, next we're going to talk about RSA survey priorities and planning. In considering potential changes for the Scallop RSA program, the working group highlighted the success of the program and emphasized several benefits of the RSA-funded surveys, including high level of data collection to support science and management, multiple independent estimates of abundance and biomass to check and compare with each other, industry collaboration, trust and buy-in, and innovation for new surveys and improvement to existing surveys. The working group recognized that the program has worked well and focused on ideas for increased coordination. And I would like to emphasize that the RSA process, I was in that from the beginning, and it has worked extremely well. The management team at the Science Center, Cheryl Corbett back then, and now Ryan Silver at the center, have been very helpful in making sure that we could coordinate various surveys and management of the RSA program. The current process that we have for RSA it puts us a little out of sync with time, in the sense that in May and June and July and September, the process allows for the surveys to take place. And then in October and November and December, the RSA reviews for next year. So we're looking at surveys in 1 year and trying to develop priorities for the following year. So the surveys are a little out of sync with our recommendations for the following year, or vice versa, I should say. The schematic that we have up here shows timing and process of the current RSA program, including development of the RSA survey priorities in late spring with council approval in June. Then we have a notice of Federal Register opportunity released in late summer with proposals typically due in October, and that's for the following year. The issue with the current process is the potential to misidentify priority survey areas in a year in advance, and the lack of ability to take advantage of the most up-to-date information and from the current year's survey and analyses. The group identified several objectives to be addressed through proposed changes in the RSA program. That includes to address the disconnect between priorities, proposals, and survey needs, increase flexibility to match surveys with science and management needs, to ensure all survey partners, including the Science Center, have input to the research objectives, and better align RSA surveys with the Science Center survey planning process. In other words, move away from the idea of one's going to try to fill in the gap for the other. I think we want to get a more coordinated system so we're not in that position. The working group discussed a straw man proposal for longer-term RSA survey awards for up to 5 years. The proposal is an adaptation of the current RSA program, which allow for 2-year awards. The working group suggested an iterative implementation approach to apply long-term awards for broad-scale survey areas, such as the Mid-Atlantic region, Georges Bank, or Gulf of Maine region. This would maintain the current program's ability to make shorter awards for 1 or 2 years to specific resource areas, such as rotational management areas. The schematic also shows how a process to determine annual survey coverage for longer terms could be implemented. The general RSA process would continue as it is currently, but regional surveys would already be awarded after the initial proposal. A process to set spatial coverage and sampling intensity for subsequent years could be made use of the current year's survey data and analysis to better inform decisions. The working group noted that an adapted or new process to determine annual spatial coverage would be needed to suggest an approach that includes management, science, technical, and fishing industry input to improve the transparency for spatial coverage determinations. The working group raised questions about potential 5-year constraints to 5-year awards. Just what are the legal and operational constraints for those long-term awards? And we noted the lack of clarity on how the RSA program would be administered in the future. The group recommended that NOAA provide a report to the council detailing allowable duration of survey awards with rationale, administrative and programmatic changes required to support longer-term surveys, and a timeline to administer annual RSA programs, including notice of Federal Registers, awards, opportunity proposal solicitation, reviews, negotiations, and awards. The working group recommended this as an urgent priority to complete it in advance of next year's RSA survey priority setting. The working group recommended that NOAA and the council should revise the Scallop RSA program to allow longer-term survey awards and collaboratively develop a rigorous standard process to ensure coordination, annual survey spatial coverage, and sampling intensity. The working group listed potential benefits from long-term awards, including reduced administrative burden, consistency in data collection and data products, programmatic stability for survey and partners, longer-term planning for industry decision-making, increased collaboration amongst survey groups, and an additional outreach and educational opportunities. The implementation of this approach would require some changes to the NOAA grant program, as well as council operations. So the working group recommended that NOAA and council consider programs and legal requirements to develop a pathway for longer-term survey awards. And I want to make sure that we're emphasizing survey awards, not research awards. Research awards would remain the same, but survey awards could be longer term than the 2 years that we currently have.
OK, Okay, term of reference three is related to wind, and it states, identify survey methods, tools, and designs to monitor and assess the scallop resource in a changing ocean environment that includes offshore wind installations and changes in resource and fishery distributions. The working group applied the NOAA Fisheries and BOEM Federal Survey Mitigation Implementation Strategy as a framework to develop recommendations related to impacts from offshore wind energy on the scallop survey system. The NOAA BOEM strategy specifically mentions applying recommendations from the scallop survey working group in several action items. Using this document as a framework, the working group identified potential impacts to the scallop survey system related to the four impact areas identified by NOAA. The working group considered the current and potential future scope and scale of offshore wind energy installations and made recommendations across multiple timescales. These maps show scallop fishing effort on the left and scallop resource distribution on the right, overlaid on the BOEM wind lease and wind planning areas in southern New England and the Mid-Atlantic regions. The four impact areas identified by NOAA are preclusion, statistical design, habitat change, and sampling. For the scallop survey, there will be impacts associated with all the topics, including vessel operability, random stratified design, potential distribution shifts, and reduced biological samples. Collectively, the impacts could affect survey data products by introducing bias, disrupting time series, and reducing ability to track recruitment and year classes. Increased uncertainty in scallop survey data could impact projections, area management, and ultimately catch allocations. And as uncertainty increases, the potential for impacts to management advice also increases. The working group endorsed the NOAA BOEM Federal Survey Mitigation Implementation Strategy, including scallop surveys. The group emphasized the need for dedicated new and additional annual resources to support implementation of a survey mitigation program. The working group noted the extensive spatial and temporal scales of offshore wind development and recognized that there are insufficient resources to maintain the current scallop survey needs and develop a mitigation program. The working group recommended simulation modeling to characterize the impacts of wind energy development on the scallop survey system and assess the feasibility of alternative sampling methods. The working group recommended this as an important priority that could be developed over multiple years and also recommended that this should be included as an RSA priority. The working group recognized the potential value in conducting simulation modeling as an initial step to better understand impacts from offshore wind development on the scallop survey. A similar effort is currently being conducted by the Science Center and UMass Dartmouth to assess impacts to the bottom trawl survey. The group recommended that the center and council consider mechanisms to coordinate, fund, and conduct simulation modeling and consider what are the impacts on the ability to support science and management. For example, how do gaps in survey coverage or reduced biological samples impact estimates of uncertainty? How does increased uncertainty affect projection model capability? How do we expect wind installations may alter habitat and impact ability to conduct surveys? For example, could shifts in resource distribution resulting from wind installations impact survey ability to detect recruitment? The working group recommended that guidelines be developed for offshore wind monitoring surveys to collect data and generate data products to supplement the scallop survey system. The group recommended providing the scallop survey guiding principles document to wind companies to serve as guidelines to minimize the differences in data collection protocols between wind monitoring surveys and existing scallop surveys. The group also highlighted ongoing research and monitoring efforts that are collecting scallop data from wind areas. The group emphasized the need for data sharing and publicly accessible data products from wind companies and recommended coordination between the Center, Council, and BOEM to identify key wind company personnel to develop strategies to leverage data collection and sharing. The scallop survey enterprise should develop robust strategies that can be implemented over multiple timescales. The working group expressed concerns about the long-term large scale of offshore wind development and emphasized that there will eventually be a need for new survey tools and designs. To address the long-term impacts, the group recommended developing, testing, evaluating, and implementing new tools that can be applied in different types of wind arrays at different spatial scales. The group noted that the Science Center is currently developing an autonomous underwater optical system that may be operable within and around wind installations in the future, and suggested that new scallop survey tools may be developed with RSA support. This is a long-term recommendation, and strategies should be developed iteratively as offshore wind energy installations advance. So we can pause now for any questions related to RSA coordination and impacts from wind development.
You got it. Any questions from the council? Anybody from the public? Mr. Alexander.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You've outlined a number of potential new projects, the data management, this recommendation here regarding analyzing the impacts of wind. Right now, what proportion of the RSA funds are used for the surveys, and then that percentage left over, is there enough to accommodate these new studies as well as some of the other things that that are prioritized by the RSA program?
I someone else is going to have to help me with that proportion, but right now the surveys have top priority, and the available funds are used for that priority, and the remainder generally goes to high-ranking non-survey proposals. I don't know the percentage. Maybe who can help me with that?
Jonathan, maybe?
Jonathan can. Mr. Piros.
Good morning, everyone. Jonathan Piros on council staff. Thanks for the question. So the proportion of RSA resources that generally go towards survey work is really between 30 and 40% in a given year. It might vary on the number of proposals that are received and really the scope of the area that's likely to be covered. But historically, it's been in that range over time. It's a fairly large proportion of the RSA.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Hare.
Thank you very much. And just a comment, when we look at these recommendations, I think we need to be looking that they are going to be supported more broadly than just the RSA program. There may be areas where the RSA program can support some of these recommendations, but certainly from a Northeast Fisheries Science Center perspective, we will be looking to bring resources to these recommendations as well.
Mr. Tracy.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Obviously, there's a lot going on here. I'm trying to wrap my head around, maybe it's a simple question. To what degree is the funding insufficient, whether it be from RSA or other sources, to achieve what you're identifying the needs to be? I don't know if that's an easily answered question, but I'm just looking for that kind of takeaway.
Are you talking in regards to, say, data or any particular aspect?
I'm looking at all the information. For instance, at one point you mentioned that Northern Gulf of Maine surveying was insufficient, or there needs to be added additional efforts in that area. And I'm trying to connect that to the question of resources and funding. So that's why I'm asking, is it insufficient? Maybe that's a simpler question.
Well, one of the shortcomings that were initially identified historically that the Northern Gulf of Maine surveys were somewhat inadequate. We didn't have good shell height knee weight relationships. We didn't have a good area coverage. That has been corrected through the RSA priority setting process. So we anticipate that the Gulf of Maine will be fully surveyed to meet the needs for management.
Okay, so there's not a funding shortfall?
No. Okay. It, in the past, it was just the fact that the priority wasn't there for the Northern Gulf of Maine. Now that the Northern Gulf of Maine is a priority area, that process is in place.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think where the funding shortfalls are for data, for example, as Dr. Hare was just saying, you know, the Science Center will need additional funding in order to support a database specialist or somebody to work on this repository. In wind energy, as of today, we have not received additional funding to execute wind mitigation surveys in addition to our regular scallop surveys. So that is a funding need for sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Hare?
Yeah, just to sort of, step back a little bit, I think once we, have the report, we look at the recommendations, and I think, we then think about what's the cost going to be to implement each of the recommendations, and that sort of costing step hasn't occurred yet. The working group wasn't charged to cost out their recommendation, but that's something that we'll be working on now that we have the report, so thank you.
Anybody else? I'll go to the public. Mr. Elsner.
Yes, thank you. This is more in line with the previous conversation, and I'm sorry I didn't address it at the time. You were talking about needing to store RSA data and control RSA data, and there may be possibility of sharing it with other fisheries or other users. Who would be paying for the program to store and share the data? Would that be coming out of the RSA funding?
Not necessarily. No, that's not. Like what, again, what Dr. Hare was saying, we haven't addressed the sources of funding yet. This is being put forward as a recommendation that we have a repository that does store all of the scallop survey system data, because right now it's very disjointed. Each program kind of maintains their own data set. It would be nice for one repository to have copies of everybody's data and have sufficient resources to maintain that repository. So in terms of where that funding comes from, that hasn't been addressed specifically by the working group.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else from the public? Back to the council. Ms. Etrie.
Thank you. I was saving this maybe for at the end of the presentation, but I think it kind of goes to this funding dialogue that's occurring. I can appreciate the recommendation about having a centralized database to store the data, and I appreciate from Dr. Hare's comments that, the cost in figuring out how to do that is going to happen in the future, but was there any discussions about who is best equipped to actually be housing and maintaining this data, be it the Science Center or a third party? There's pros and cons to having data housed in certain locations, including, sorry, Dr. Hare, database failures and whatnot. So I'm just wondering if there was any discussions about not just the value of having a centralized database, but like where it might be best held besides the funding discussion.
Yeah, I'm preliminarily, the consensus of the working group was that it made most sense to house the repository at the Science Center. But going back to the comment from the previous caller, I just want to make it clear, it's not that if we do that, the Science Center takes over RSA. Each RSA program will still maintain their own data, data sets. But having a time series, repository at the Science Center is what we thought made the most sense. but, you know, it's something we're still looking at.
Anybody else? Gentlemen?
Go back here. All right. Term of reference number 4 states, identify and catalog the survey data products needed to support stock assessment approaches in the future and outline a process for modifying the scallop survey system to collect and identify data products. The working group did that. We compiled a catalog of survey data products and collection methods to support future stock assessment and projection needs. In other words, the catalog has been created with common data columns that all survey partners can insert their data into. Future data needs are a little more difficult to figure out how that's all going to happen, but right now we're looking at aging samples and aging methods. Right now we're doing just some preliminary work on aging samples, and most of our scallop data is in length frequency distributions, but it's not an age-based assessment at all. So we want to age samples and aging methods. We want to continue to understand density-dependent effects. That's integrate information from other resource surveys beyond scallops. And also to try to characterize what's happening in some of these high density areas, such as Nantucket Lightship South and Nantucket Lightship West, where we had huge densities of scallops. And we really don't know how to fully manage those high density areas. And I don't think we fully understand the impact of fishing in these high density areas. So we need some future work there. The other areas that is beginning to take interest is taking a look at fecundity estimates. There's a new interest in looking at scallops, the concept called spawning stock biomass. As opposed to just looking at meat weights, we might want to look at spawning stock biomass. And that effort is being headed by DeVore Hart at the Science Center. So we need, for future stock assessment work, good estimates on fecundity. Then also we need to do the same thing that Paul Rago, and we recommend that work consider, on looking at geostatistical projections on making sure that we have full area coverage in a sense that can be used for our stock assessment work.
Okay, getting near the end here. The working group concluded that the current scallop system is one of the best data collection programs in the world. The system provides multiple independent estimates of biomass, abundance, and density, and the ability to integrate estimates to meet science and management objectives. The working group focused recommendations for improvement on data and database management, increased coordination and collaboration among survey groups, and a set of guiding principles to ensure standards and consistency. The working group also considered future needs of the survey system in a changing environment and concluded that aspects of the system may minimize impacts from offshore wind development, such as the range of tested and applied physical and optical survey tools, ability to adapt to model-based survey designs, and methods to integrate multiple data streams. The group also recognized that data needs for future assessment approaches have been developed, such as scallop aging methods. Their recommendations were focused on survey needs over multiple spatial and temporal scales, recognizing potential changes in resource and fishery distributions. The group addressed the four terms of reference and completed tasking, but members remain committed to assisting in implementing recommendations, including a consensus to adopt the SCOLLOP survey guiding principles, a willingness to help develop the database, the data repository, and continued development of methods and technologies for wind energy areas. So we'd like to thank the entire working group for their effort and contributions. Thank you again to Kate O'Keefe for doing a truly outstanding job of facilitating this working group, as well as Jessica Joyce, Sam Ashy, and Jonathan Peros for their support. Thank you to the Council and Science Center for supporting the group and the opportunity to present the report and recommendations. So we can, if there's still time, we can take some additional questions.
And I'd like to take time to thank the Council and Center for supporting the RSA SCOLLOP survey program. I think that is one of the best programs that I have seen so far in working with the SCOLLOP resource and fishery. Thank you.
Thank you, gentlemen. Any questions from the Council? Ms. Griffin.
Wrong mic. Not a question, really, Mr. Chair, and certainly want to reflect back our thanks to you, Dr. O'Keefe, and Dr. DePaul, and Mr. Chase, and everybody else on the working group. 2 years of effort, you covered a lot of ground, and greatly appreciate the wealth of recommendations. I think what I just want to say is really more towards the Council, maybe to staff, that, you know, given that there is quite a few entities that could be acting on these recommendations, and there's so much there, and there's various timelines, we may want to consider a tracking sheet for us to really be clear and transparent on our follow-up with the final report.
Ms. Denise.
I think maybe if I might ask Jonathan what the plans are, might want to walk through that for a minute. On how to deal with a report and that kind of thing.
Sure. Hello again, Jonathan Pieros, New England Council staff. So the SOPs for this effort indicate that the Council is going to send a letter and send the report to the Northeast Fisheries Science Center, and I really view that as step one of this. I think in that letter we'd want to probably request some feedback from the center on the recommendations that come out of the report. The Council might have its own opinions. I think what the next step in the coming months would be to bring out the recommendations, bring out the guiding principles to the SCOLLOP committee and have them talk about them in October as part of the priorities discussion. So there might be a roadmap in terms of things that you could follow up on, certainly within the 2023 priorities process. So step one will be making sure that we communicate the results of the working group over to the center, looking for some feedback, and then bring this back to the committee and have a conversation about some logical next steps for the work. I do think some of the things that have been identified are a very natural fit into our existing processes, particularly in the spring when we talk about RSA or as part of the annual specifications process. And I think the co-chairs did a really nice job articulating the roles for the Council and what the pathways are for implementing recommendations, but also for the center. And there's responsibilities for the survey partners who participated in this group. And hopefully, you know, as willing participants and working towards consensus, they're on board with a lot of the recommendations that came forward.
Ms. Denise.
Yeah, the one issue I have that I highlight is there's a number of suggestions in the report that additional funding is needed. And I think when we write the letter to the agency, we should ask the question of how we can influence that. We're obviously not allowed to participate in lobbying activities, but we can certainly contact the agency and document funding shortfalls.
Mr. Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, everybody. Geez, that was a ton of information that the co-chairs just presented us, and I'm really encouraged to see all of this taking us beyond where we currently are
in our scallop survey development and methodologies. You know, and I'd like to thank the 20 other individuals that were a part of this effort also. You know, one of the things that struck me is that there are a lot of things, but integrate information from other resource surveys beyond scallops is something that to me is just a kind of a no-brainer. But we don't have the ability or the staff or the manpower to really get into other surveys outside of the scallop surveys where we can integrate those findings into a more thorough scallop report in the future. So I would just like to say thank you, and it's very encouraging to see this, and it's a lot of hard work. Thanks.
Anyone else from the council? Anyone from the public? Mr. Kendall.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jim Kendall, New Bedford Seafood Consulting. Question I have is basically directed towards the wind development areas. Are there going to be any more additional efforts made within those areas to determine any changes to population or abundances or even growth sizes within those areas? We're facing a huge change that impacts a lot of the scallop industry in particular, so I'd like to know if there's any more dedicated effort for those to that effort.
Well, we did address wind energy areas pretty extensively as our I think it's our third term of reference. So, it's kind of a two-pronged approach. You know, we will reach out to wind companies who are being required to do their own surveys and make sure that they're sharing data with us, and they're also hopefully going to apply some of our methodology so that there's consistency in the way information is collected. And then ultimately our hope is to have dedicated wind surveys for scallops, but we do need more funding. You know, that's another one of those things where it costs a lot of money to charter vessels and conduct a survey. So that's sort of the next step there.
I would like to add that not only did the working group identify changes due to wind energy, but also there appears to be some significant environmental changes going on in the ocean and our scallop resource. Not only with distributional changes moving from south to north, but also changes in disease and parasites and other things. The working group really honed in on the fact that we need to increase and pay better attention to things that the environment are causing. And so it's not just a matter of counting scallops. We need to know how those scallops are doing from a health-wise and a growth-wise perspective.
Dr. Hare.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yeah, and I just want to add my thanks to you, Dr. DePaul, you, Mr. Chase, and you, Dr. O'Keefe, and everyone on the working group. You know, I know this was a no small task. Everyone volunteered to do this work, put together excellent recommendations for us, and I look forward to working with the council to implement these recommendations. Thank you.
Mr. Fletcher.
Is it possible that all the data can be entered using the same software? At my age, when I go to look at different data, I have to go back and look at what type of software is used and how to utilize it, what little bit I can. Is it possible that the council or NOAA can require that all the data be in the same software? An example is the Science Center data. When you look at that, that's entered in a different software. Is it possible the council could request that all data use the same software? Thank you.
Well, I can I can take a crack at that. What we're starting to address across surveys is having standardized data elements. So it's not necessarily the software that matters.